All right, let me bring it back home real quickly. If Ryan was to ask you, do we have room to bring in a veteran? Right now, a lot of cuts going to happen at the end of the preseason. Do the Bears have that space?
Yeah, so we try to stay as flexible as possible with all sorts of things like that. And it's a credit to Kevin and Ryan and Ian and everybody in the building. We're very disciplined about adding players at any point in the year, but especially at this point in the process.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's our buddy Lou Canellis talking to Matt Feinstein, who is the Bears Director of Football Administration. He's their capologist. And Lou got that answer before the broadcast of the game. Great job, as always, by Lou, our buddy from Fox. And he joins us now on The Score Hotline, presented by Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Lou. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, boys. Happy DNC, right?
Yeah, we can't wait. Maybe we could wait. But we're very excited about our football. And that was another great performance by the Chicago Bears. I know you're always optimistic, but it seems like maybe this time around, Lou, you're not deluding yourself. It looks like that team has gotten significantly better.
Mully, I sure the heck hope so, because I've been let down way too many times. But here's what I have said throughout this whole process. And I know we all get caught up in number 18, and we hope that the number one pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, does things that we haven't seen at the quarterback spot in this town in my lifetime. But I'm so excited about the defense, and I have been since the Eddie Jackson, Kevin Byard move, because I felt it was a huge upgrade. They brought back 9 starters from a year ago on D, and this defense is solid. Do they need someone to step up opposite Montez Sweat? You betcha. Because even when Sweat was playing well at the end of the year, it still was a team that was second to last in the league at pressuring the quarterback. Who is that guy? They made a play for Judon. It didn't work out. I'm glad they didn't give him a ton of money. Obviously, they didn't feel comfortable about working out a contract extension with him. But they need someone that's on this roster right now to step up. And it better be DeMarcus Walker. They paid this guy $21 million to come and play for this organization and to get to the quarterback, and they need this guy to do the job. Don't depend on a rookie in Austin Booker, who only played just over 500 snaps last year with Kansas. They need a guy to help out Sweat.
It's a good point, Lou. No doubt about it. And defense will carry this team through any difficult times it encounters. It'll be the most consistent aspect of every Sunday you expect. What surprised you, if anything, about the way Caleb Williams has taken over and really been everything as advertised?
Great question, Dave. And, you know, I had a chance to chat with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron on the field prior to the game. So I asked him, I said, give me something that's really opened your eyes. And it's his work to gain the respect of his teammates in the locker room that has really blown the coaches away as well. And where he can relate to the 22-year-old guy on the roster and the 40-year-old guy in Mercedes Lewis. And he's such a good teammate that even the coaches have taken notice that he, and it's not only with the guys on offense, it's guys on defense as well. And here, when you're liked, it's human principle. If I like David Haw, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to probably work a little harder for David as his teammate. And you hear it from Tevin Jenkins. Hey, Jenkins was he was asked last week, are you going to play? And he wanted to say, I'd rather not and preserve my body. But he said, if Caleb's out there, I'm going to be out there. That, David, is what's been most eye-opening for me, is the way he has gotten his teammates to rally behind him and help him through this process as he starts his NFL career.
So there are varying reports as to what went wrong or what went right. I saw Albert Breer had a tweet where he said the Bears were in on Matthew Judon. They wanted to offer a third round pick for him, and then Bigsy kind of reported, well, they would have taken him had he wanted to play that year, but word was that he wanted to get an extension and they weren't interested in that. And Judon, according to Albert Breer, chose Atlanta over the Bears. They felt both offers were the same, but that might not necessarily be the case. You know, we talked about it earlier, Lou. Everyone wants another pass rusher. Everybody wants more help in that area. Do you, when you look at this team, feel like they don't need to get better just to try to get better? They need something in particular, or do you feel like they're okay?
Well, it depends on what your expectations are this year, Mully.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've gotten so excited because we've watched this quarterback the last two games, you know, go out and create plays that we haven't seen before, and immediately we've gone from being a 10-win team, hopefully getting into the playoffs, to now listening to other guys like the three of us on air and say, oh, maybe this is a Super Bowl team. Slow down. I mean, let's be realistic with the expectations, and let's bring it back to Judon, Mully. All right, you offered a third-round pick to the Patriots, so you were right there with Atlanta. It's a guy, he's 32 years old. He played in four games last season, and I'm sure he wants a ton of money because he sees what other pass rushers are getting on the market. You are building Ryan Poles and Matt Feinstein and Ian Cunningham and Jeff King, who's the senior director of player personnel, and Trey Cozio. They are building a Bears team to build consistent winning seasons over the course of the next 10, 20 years. Remember, Cunningham was part of the Ravens organization and the Chiefs. Poles came from the Chiefs. These teams are consistently playoff teams each and every year. Why would we pay, and I say we, why would the Bears pay Judon a ton of money at his age, coming off an injury season, just so he can help this franchise the next 4 years, and then look back and say, wow, we screwed ourselves. Now we got all this money tied up at the defensive end position. How can we get out of it? I think they're handling it the right way. They're not going to go kick the tires on Hassan Reddick. Guy's not happy at $14.5 million. They need someone from within their organization who's on the roster right now to step up. And if it doesn't happen, then they'll go out and they'll get that pass rusher next year.
I think it's a great point, Lou. I also am not convinced that, as much as we talk about that pass rusher opposite Montez Sweat, that even though it may be externally the biggest concern, internally, I'm not sure that it is. I think that Matt Eberflus has tremendous faith in his ability to call defenses that will get to the quarterback, regardless of who's rushing the passer at that defensive end spot. Big issue, yes, but I wonder, do you think, what internally is the Bears' biggest concern? Is it the offensive line? Because I sense it might be the offensive line.
I agree with you. I think it's the offensive line. They feel really good about the depth they created by getting Shelton and Bates. And Amagaji now is now, you know, mm-hmm. active. So they feel good about their depth. But, guys, you've been following the NFL long enough. You never have enough good blockers. It just, guys get injured during the season, and then you find yourself putting guys. But remember, hey, Larry Borum was the starter. We haven't brought up Borum's name throughout the preseason because we're excited to get Bates back out there healthy. This is the game on Saturday. Amagaji, you guys were talking about him earlier this morning with Bigsy, talking about, you know, what this kid brings to the table, and he could have potentially been a second-round pick if he wasn't injured in his final season at Yale last year. I still think it's the offensive line. Do we have enough to protect our jewel at the quarterback spot, to give him enough time to at least put this team in the scoring position? I think that the defense and the punter are going to consistently give Caleb Williams great field position. But do we have enough that when the games count, let's not get carried away with what's happened the last 2 weeks, when the games count and defenses are coming at him and he's battling the first string defense, do we have enough on offense so he at least scores points.
I think it's an interesting idea because I think that, you know, Amagaji in particular, he's made this team. He's a third-round draft pick. They're putting him on the team. I just don't know if he can play right away. So there's going to be a ramp-up period. I would imagine they might have to keep an extra lineman or maybe two in order to make sure they have the depth that you need if all these injuries are real, if, you know, everybody is not 100%, whatever it might be. And then you look at I guess my point is I think the depth on this team is enough that they're going to cut somebody that gets signed elsewhere instead of us sitting here waiting for the Bears to sign five guys after the final cutoff. They're actually going to have some guys that might be signed elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's something we're not used to, right?
No.
I mean, we're used to them paring their roster down to 46, 47, and then hoping they can find five, six, seven guys that have been cut by other teams that they'll bring aboard. I'm with you. And you touched on, Dave, you touched on Eberflus and the defense. I think their secondary, that's the strength of this team. Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon healthy. Let's get Jaquan Brisker back. I love the Byard signing. Terrell Smith had an interception. This guy, you know, was a fifth-round pick. They really like the way Jalen Jones is playing. Josh Blackwell. And you watch Eberflus run this defense, and I'm really happy that he's running the defense again with Eric Washington. And he's feeling more comfortable with the talent around him. So, you know, he came to Chicago. He's not a big blitz guy. He wants to depend on his front four to get to the quarterback. But now he's feeling comfortable with those guys in the secondary. He understands the talent he's got in Kyler Gordon, and he sends him in, and that's going to help the pass rush as well. So I think that on defense, Eberflus and this talent that they've created, and we don't even talk about the linebackers because we're so comfortable with Edmonds, Edwards, and Sanborn, that this defense is really what's going to carry this Bears team to a successful season.
So, Lou, Saturday was Torrey Taylor's first experience at Soldier Field, and he took advantage of the opportunity to impress a lot of people. Three punts, I think, right, average around 50. The net was good. I don't know if you have interviewed him yet, but he seems like he's an easy guy to deal with, and he's certainly going to be a fun guy to watch. What were your impressions?
I'll tell you what, he's been great. You know, I remember, let's go back a week, that Buffalo game, man, the wind, Dave, was just something. You think the wind is something at Soldier Field, nothing like what we experienced at Buffalo and nothing like what he's experienced. I go back to during OTAs, I remember being on the field and I felt like I heard someone blowing off fireworks in Lake Forest. And it was literally the ball was exploding off this guy's foot. He is a threat that we haven't talked about enough. And I know it's a stretch to select a punter with a fourth round pick. I truly believe that this guy, along with the defense, is going to give the Bears. And it's something we don't talk about often when you talk about a game and how it changes. Field position, field position, field position. I'm excited to watch this kid. Even when the offense doesn't work and they've got to punt the football, he's going to give the Bears field position where that defense is going to have the opportunity to blitz like we saw with Gordon and Blackwell this past week and make things happen and give that offense another opportunity.
Yeah, I think that when we start talking about, you know, we haven't even mentioned Jonathan Owens. We haven't mentioned Elijah Hicks. Their secondary has enough depth to it that there are guys that are going to play in the league that might not make the roster, but you probably want to find spots for them on the roster. You know what I mean? I just think that it's going to be really curious to me to see if they try to trade somebody before final cuts come up, maybe a running back. I'm not naming names, but if you believe that Velus Jones is making this roster, they're going to have to clear out a spot for him, and you don't want to cut a player that can help you.
I got to tell you, Molly, they better not. And here, I think Velus Jones is a nice guy, but they better not be moving Khalil Herbert to keep Velus Jones on this roster. We haven't talked enough about Khalil Herbert this preseason, and I get it that he's not great when it comes to pass protection. They haven't used him a lot coming out of the backfield as a receiver, but he is really good at carrying the football. And I understand DeAndre Swift is your number one. I think he is a solid number two. Roschon Johnson, what Roschon does is he gives them a guy who helps out on special teams as well. I think those are your three running backs. And I don't know, but I'm not sure there's a spot for Velus Jones on this roster. And how many carries did he get in that second half on Saturday? Five? Six? He just wasn't a factor like he was the week before. Dante Pettis stepped up. Pettis is a guy who can help with punt returns. You don't have to worry about ball security. So, boy, it's going to be tough for Velus Jones unless he just has a monster game on Thursday, and he'll get his chances against the Chiefs because I don't expect the starters to play much, if at all. I'm not sure there's a spot for Jones on the roster, guys.
So, Lou, what do you think of Hard Knocks, and is your answer different for Lou the fan and Lou the TV guy?
So, remember, the Bears get final edit before we see it on TV. And I think it's okay. I want more, Dave, because we're not allowed behind the curtain at Halas Hall. And we understand how private the Bears are and where the media is. I want more. I didn't get it in the second episode. I'm hoping we get more of the behind the scenes conversations between, you know, Orion Poles and a Matt Eberflus, especially with cuts coming up a week from tomorrow. So I'd give it a B right now. Maybe a B minus.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting.
I want more. Hey, they can't. And you guys were talking about trades. They can't get rid of Jonathan Owens. They can't get rid of that storyline with his wife.
She's got to get rid of that shirt.
She's got to get rid of that jacket. Lou, it wasn't jacket weather, was it?
No, it was umbrella weather, and no one bailed me out. If you saw that pregame show, as I stood out there like a wet dish rag trying to continue with the pregame show, and no one, finally, one of the guys on the crew, Mike, brought me over an umbrella to help me out, but that was after I was soaking wet in a suit.
If you would have interviewed Simone Biles on the pregame show on Saturday, would you have asked her what she was thinking when she pulled out the Packer jacket?
I would have. Why not? What do you have to lose? I was surprised. I'm like, really? Did anyone tell her that we can't stand the Packers in this town? How dare you wear that step foot in the Soldier Field?
Thank you, Lou.
That was so funny. Great stuff, Lou. Great catching up with you. You do wonderful work.
Thanks, Lou.
Buddy.
Great work.
Fans.
Thanks, guys. Always good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
It's Lou, very strong. Very strong on your guy,
Lou's always
Jones.
Very strong.